And turning to Lord's Day number 34, these are questions 93, 94, and 95. As we are looking at the Ten Commandments, we looked at them last week, and now we are focusing on the First Commandment. And remember, the context is that of thankfulness to God for such redemption. So Lord's Day number 34, question number 93. How are these commandments divided? Into two tables, the first of which teaches in four commandments what duties we owe to God, the second in six what duties we owe to our neighbor. Question number 94, what does God require in the first commandment? That on peril of my soul's salvation, I avoid and flee all idolatry, sorcery, enchantments, invocation of saints, or of other creatures, and that I rightly acknowledge the only true God, trust in Him alone, with all humility and patience, expect all good from Him only, and love, fear, and honor Him with my whole heart, so as rather to renounce all creatures than to do the least thing against His will. Question number 95, what is idolatry? Idolatry is to conceive or have something else in which to place our trust instead of or besides the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word. So you're familiar with the Ten Commandments, and we are reminded, you should be reminded that when the Lord spoke these words, He began with grace. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. And so this particular declaration, these commandments, are commandments that were imposed upon redeemed people, people that were redeemed out of the bondage of Egypt, redeemed unto relationship with God. And so it makes perfect sense to understand how the most important thing is, how are you and the Lord doing? Or we say now, how are you and Jesus doing? And so the division of these commandments, there's debate, there are other communions, other churches that divide them differently, and I think this calling out is to say, this is how we understand it to be. And that is that the first four commandments focus on our relationship, our duty we owe to God, or another way of saying that, our relationship to God. And the first four commandments, of a good way that I try to keep and remember it, is the first commandment answers the question, who are we to worship or serve? The second commandment has to do with how we are to worship and serve Him. The third commandment answers the question, where, which you may think that sounds kind of weird. Where, how does the Lord's name relate to the where? And it, I think it helps if we remember that in the scriptures, both the tabernacle and the temple were described as the place where God placed His name. And so, in a sense, we are the place now. It is the place where the name is. If you have the name of God upon you through baptism, in that sense, there's an identification. And then finally, the fourth commandment, when. So who, how, where, and when are answered in the first four commandments. And then this fifth commandment and on, how are we to honor God by honoring those in authority over us or to be honorable to those that we are representing God, or all the other commandments that deal with how we are to relate with one another, how we are to honor their lives, how we are to honor our covenants, how we are to honor their possessions, how they are to honor our word or our truth, how we are to honor even down into the very heart, how we are to glorify God in respecting and honoring other people. And so we come to question number 94, and then exposition of the first commandment. Notice the statement is, on the peril of my soul's salvation, I avoid and flee all idolatry. He could have stopped right there, but it goes on to say sorcery, enchantments, invocation of saints and other creatures. Now, how did those come up in the first commandment? It doesn't say anything explicitly about sorcery or enchantments or an invocation of saints or other creatures, does it? Well, it does. All of those other sins that is described there can be combined into the idea of manipulating creation in order to get what I want. Okay? It is power. It's a worship of power. And in our society today, I think that is a great evil that we see being propagated. This desire for control and this desire for power. I am God, and I determine what is right and what is wrong and what is going to happen. It is idolatry. It is having another God in the place of God. And what is that God? Me. I was reading an article this morning, and it said that the baby boomer generation has been referred to as the me generation. And then the article goes on to say, well, the millennial generation is the me generation. Whether you agree with this author or not, I thought it was kind of comical that the idea is it's all about me. Either generation, that is the temptation of, and I don't think it's just baby boomers or whatever. We find that in every generation. It's all about me. Adam and Eve in the garden, right? It's all about me. You will be like God, and you will determine, right, what is right and wrong. And so this problem of idolatry goes all the way back to the garden, and we see it expanding out throughout all of history. And it doesn't escape even the redeemed. Even we who are redeemed of the Lord, yet how many times we turn our back on God and we focus on ourselves. We become like Narcissus, who behold in a mirror's reflection rather than looking upon and worshiping and serving our God. We are to rightly acknowledge God as the only true God. All those other things are false gods. And notice that. Trust in Him alone. That is the motivation, or should be the motivation, of our lives. We said earlier, as we were looking in the catechism, about what is the good works, question 91, and it says, only those who proceed from true faith. The motivation of our lives is faith in God, is trust in God. That is why an unbeliever can never do a good work, because they don't have faith. True saving faith. But it is our calling to trust in Him alone. Not in ourselves, not in our abilities. How often do we focus on ourselves, even when we fail? And we should confess our sins. But sometimes I think, I don't know about you, but I know with myself, sometimes I wallow in my sin. I'm like Martin Luther in his cell, beating himself. Oh, how could I do that sin? How could I be so evil? Trust in Him alone. With all humility and patience, expect all good from Him only, notice that word only again, and love, fear, and honor Him with my whole heart, so as rather to renounce all creatures, including myself, than to do the least thing against His will. So the question is, what is idolatry? Idolatry is, notice this, to conceive or have something else in which to place our trust instead of or besides, notice that, instead of or besides, additional to, the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word. So idolatry starts in where? It starts in the heart. It starts in the mind. It starts with that conceiving. The vain imaginations. When God looks at the imaginations of the heart of man, he says it's what? Only evil all the day. Literally in Hebrew, all the day, Genesis 6. So it is difficult, seemingly impossible, not to fall into that, is there? Well, if I only had $1 million. Oh, well, if I only could control this. Only if I could, if I had magical powers. And only if I could get this person to do what they should be doing. Only if I had this. How often do we sin in our imagination? Again, Calvin says, our hearts are idol factories, constantly churning out new kinds of idols. How many idols did you produce last week? How many idols did you produce this morning? Was that an idol? Idolatry is to conceive or have something else in which to place our trust. It's something else that motivates us to do what we're doing. What is it that motivates you? Is it faith in God? Is it trust in Him? Or is it trust in yourself? May God grant us grace that we may be able to become more aware and grace overcome the idolatry that we face. Amen.